great. I love the colors. I love the smiles on the faces. We are blessed to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. This is such a special, special season as we just remember and we celebrate the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Christ child, the Son of God, God in the flesh. God is salvation. Jesus, the arrival of Jesus to the earth. Amen. And so because of this, is it any wonder it's a season of joy and a season of hope? Now, those names always go with it. We kind of can easily use them just in passing, but there is reason for joy and there is reason for hope in the Christ child, Jesus Christ. Amen. So is Jesus and Jesus alone, his arrival on planet Earth that we are here to commemorate and to celebrate tonight in this service. We are so glad that you have joined us tonight. We are blessed that you're here. We trust that after the service, you'll just hang around. We're going to have some hot chocolate, some nice cookies out there. We're just going to have a great time of fellowship. But we're just so happy that all of you are here. I'm going to ask that you just please stand, and we're going to sing in just a moment, but we'll start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for this time of year as we celebrate the Christmas season. God, we bless you, God. We praise you tonight. We pray that your presence will be here, Father, as we honor you, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As we sing tonight different songs, we simply ask at the end of the song, you're welcome to be seated as we have some readings in between. And if you're not able to stand, that's certainly fine. You can certainly sing while you're seated as well. But we're going to sing one, a song of the season that I think you all are familiar with, O Come All You Faithful. So please sing with us tonight.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man?
And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38.
Amen. Would you please stand? And so, as during this Christmas season, we're reminded that the angel had actually told Joseph, You will call him Emmanuel. That word means God is with us. What a great plan, isn't it?
Amen.
God putting on flesh and coming to this earth. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's sing it. Emmanuel.
Time foundation. forever, And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone in his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Luke 2:1-20.
Savior's birth.
what a holy night it was. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'"
Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented their gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Matthew 2, 1 through 12.
Commoners, kings, and the Christ child. It is incredible how this event of 2,000 years ago continues to draw the attention of billions of people around the globe. This very special season evokes thoughts of wonder, suspense, and the miraculous. To see how the God of the universe chose to reveal his salvation plan for humanity by becoming one of us in the form of a baby boy, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. The story draws in historical characters imitated annually in church Christmas plays and pageants around the world. Kingly figures such as Caesar Augustus, Herod, and Magi from the East, and commoners like Mary, Joseph, and the lowly shepherds working the night shift in the fields outside Bethlehem, keeping watch over their flock by night. The account begins in Israel with two commoners, Mary, a young virgin, and her soon-to-be husband, Joseph. Mary, living in the northland of Israel, the region called Galilee, in a small, insignificant village called Nazareth, receives a visit from the archangel Gabriel, who assures her she has found favor with God Most High. She was then given the offer to conceive, carry, and bear the Son of God, the conception in her womb to take place by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Given this announcement, Mary would have been well aware that agreeing to conceive a child in such a way and becoming pregnant out of wedlock would open her to scorn and suspicion, not only by her intended husband Joseph, but by her family, friends, and community at large. Frankly, it is any wonder that 9 months later, there would be no room at the inn for this young and by then very pregnant, travel-weary teenager and her husband-to-be. They would therefore have to settle for birthing her firstborn child in an animal stall in a stable in Bethlehem outside Jerusalem, likely the very place used for birthing lambs to be sacrificed. As at the annual Passover festivals in the nearby temple. Indeed, the favor of God at times is a two-edged sword, honor as well as heartache both wrapped up in the same heavenly package. Despite all this, Mary and later Joseph would respond to God's plan by simply saying, "Yes, let it be done to me as you have said." Other commoners in our story include the shepherds, keeping watch over their flocks by night to protect them from thieves, wolves, and other destroyers. It was to these lowly laborers that God chose to first publicly announce the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, born not far from where these shepherds were faithfully performing their duties. A host of angels appeared to them, telling them they would find a newborn babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a feeding stall, possibly the same stall where the sheep out in the fields that night had been birthed months before. The shepherds immediately went and found the baby exactly as the angels had said. They then went away rejoicing, telling all those they encountered about the amazing events of this night and about this child whom the angels said was the Savior, Christ the Lord. Moving on from the commoners, we now meet the kings of the Christmas story, beginning with the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. Frankly, Caesar, in his warm palace hundreds of miles away in Rome, would be completely unaware that his edict to require a taxation census throughout his kingdom would to require Mary and Joseph to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem and ultimately bear the Messiah there. In so doing, Caesar Augustus unwittingly became instrumental in the Christmas story by helping fulfill the words of the prophet Micah had written 500 years earlier. Micah predicted that Christ the Messiah would indeed be born not in Nazareth, but in Bethlehem.
Other royalty in this story of stories include Magi traveling from the Parthian kingdom to the east, who, having seen the supernatural appearance of the light in the sky, arrive at Herod's palace in the capital city of Jerusalem, seeking to find the one who had been born king of the Jews. I mean, where else would a king be born except within the king's palace in the nation's capital? They would be greeted there by a jealous and wicked king, Herod, who would redirect the Magi to the nearby hamlet of Bethlehem, where the prophet Micah had predicted the Messiah would be born. Too indifferent to be bothered to go himself, King Herod's wicked scheme was to have the Magi find the child and then report back to him the child's location, so he could in turn murder this would-be rival to his family dynasty. After the Magi's finding the Messiah, worshiping him, and presenting him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they were warned by God in a dream about Herod's murderous scheme and departed from Bethlehem by another route. And finally, the pivotal character in the Christmas story, the one with no lines to quote in any Christmas play, it's the baby Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. To an outsider, the arrival place and time of this child may seem insignificant, almost happenstance. Born in a filthy stable because there was no room for the fledgling family in the guest house, or at least no one was willing to make room for a mother having become pregnant under such seemingly scandalous circumstances. A stable, a manger, swaddling clothes. Truly, this was no nativity scene, at least not the likes of those ones commonly portrayed on today's Christmas cards. However, to God, this was the appointed place and the appointed time, and these the appointed parents. The pivotal event in all human history set in motion in the Garden of Eden thousands of years earlier, when God told Satan, that serpent, that the seed of the woman would one day destroy him and his power. This was Emmanuel, God with us, who would lay aside his heavenly privileges to be born in the likeness of a man in a Bethlehem stable. It has been well said, Jesus could not redeem us until he became one of us. And because the Son of God chose to put on human flesh, therefore all mankind can now receive eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, by the same method that Mary used to accept the offer given to her, by simply responding, yes, to God's invitation. Yes, Lord, I receive you as my Savior, my Messiah. Emmanuel, God with us. Indeed, this baby born in a manger, having all the appearance of a commoner, was in fact a king. Actually, he was and is the king. The Magi were not seeking the one who would become king of the Jews, but they wanted to find the one who was born king of the Jews. He was and always will be king, the king of heaven. The Christmas account reminds us of the way in which the heavenly king has become a man to save Adam's fallen race. Amen? Divinity has indeed become confined in a man, Emmanuel, God with us. Please stand as we sing about that King, King Jesus.
Breaking through the dark. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. Thank you. I don't know if I need that or not. And the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 13.
As we begin to sing this last or not next to the last song, you've been asked to pick up candles. If you haven't received the candle, there's some in the back, and Dave will help. If you don't have one, you can just raise your hand, and Pastor Sherry in just a moment will begin the candlelight. And we're simply asked that you, as the candle's lit, you simply share with your neighbor. The passage that Gordon just read, that light could not comprehend, or darkness cannot comprehend. The word there means it cannot overcome. It cannot overtake the light, which is Jesus. And it's like, you know, if you're in a dark room and you light one candle, the darkness doesn't win out, right? The light wins out. And so it is with Jesus Christ in our world today. That Jesus, the love of Jesus Christ, wins out every time. Amen?
Amen.
And so as we begin to sing just a song in just a moment, Pastor Cheryl will begin the candlelight. And again, if anybody needs a candle, we have some here for you. It's a song I think we all know and love, Silent Night. Sing with us.
Holy.
silent night, holy night. What a beautiful night it was. As we prepare to sing the next song, I'll allow you to extinguish your candles at that time. Just one or two quick announcements. So again, if you weren't here, I remind you that we have some awesome refreshments afterwards, some hot chocolate. There's some very nice Christmas cookies. I hope you stay and enjoy those and just really enjoy some family time and get to know some new guests here. And we also, I believe, have a little Christmas gift for you tonight, right? Peggy, am I still right on that? Okay, you're the best. All right, hey, there you're back there. All right, bless you. So we have something for you, for your family, and we hope you'll receive that from us as well. And again, once again, we thank you for coming tonight. We're going to ask you to please extinguish your candles now, and we're going to bring the lights in the house back up. And we're going to close with this song, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. I think it's all one you've known and sung. I hope you sing it with this, with the spirit. Amen. As you're dismissed, let's just close with a word of prayer. God, thank you, Father. We rejoice together in this house for the Christmas season. Thank you for the most amazing gift that mankind could ever and will ever receive, your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fellowship and the food we're about to have. And I pray that as we go to our homes tonight, you will bless us and keep us during this Christmas season in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.